great Christmas story there in 2 Kings chapter 5.
Yes,
2 Kings chapter 5 tonight. Hey, I preached a Christmas-related message this morning. If you weren't here, you should have been. You can catch it on YouTube if need be. But I'm preaching tonight. I told you this morning what I was going to preach. Brother Nathan Patterson was supposed to be preaching tonight. He was going to be here. We planned Christmas for a missionary, for him and his family. We've got all those gifts back in the office for them. But he came down and he's sick, so they couldn't be here. And like I say, he called me yesterday. I was at a football game at the Cowboys Stadium watching high school championship games. And I thought then, you know, I don't have anything planned to preach. I don't know what I'm going to preach Sunday night, but I promise you, the Lord gave me these thoughts, and he gave them to me last night after I got home. I jotted them down, and I'm going to preach them to you, okay? When things don't go as you planned, when things don't go as you planned, you ever had that happen? All right, hey, then we're going to talk to you. He said, what do you do? I'll help you tonight, hopefully. Now Naaman, captain of the host of the king of Syria, was a great man with his master and honorable because by him the Lord had given deliverance unto Syria. But he was also a mighty man in valor, but he was a leper. And the Syrians had gone out by companies and had brought away captive out of the land of Israel a little maid, and she waited on Naaman's wife. Hey, by the way, did you ever stop and think? This little maid, things didn't go as she planned either. Things didn't go as she planned, all right? And she said in verse 3 unto her mistress, would God my Lord were with the prophet that is in Samaria, for he would recover him of his leprosy. And one went in and told his Lord, saying, thus and thus said the maid that is of the land of Israel. And the king of Syria said, go, and I will send a letter unto the king of Israel. And he departed and took with him 10 talents of silver and 6,000 pieces of gold and 10 changes of raiment. And he brought the letter to the king of Israel, saying, Now, when this letter is come unto thee, behold, I have therewith sent Naaman my servant to thee, that thou mayest recover him of his leprosy. And it came to pass, when the king of Israel had read the letter, that he rent his clothes and said, am I God to kill and to make alive, that this man doth send unto me to recover a man of his leprosy? Wherefore, consider, I pray you, and see how he seeketh a quarrel against me. Hey, the king of Israel wasn't excited about getting that letter. He said the folks in Syria are just trying to start a fight. But verse 8, and it was so when Elisha, the man of God, had heard that the king of Israel had rent his clothes, that he sent to the king, saying, wherefore hast thou rent thy clothes? Let him come now to me, and he shall know that there is a prophet in Israel. So Naaman came with his horses and with his chariot and stood at the door of the house of Elisha. And Elisha sent a messenger unto him, saying, go and wash in Jordan 7 times, and thy flesh shall come again to thee, and thou shalt be clean. We're going to leave off reading right there. There is a multitude. There is a volume of preaching in this chapter, all right? I just want you to know it. There's a lot of things, but tonight, this is the passage when I got to thinking, man, when things don't go as you planned, I thought of Naaman. I believe God brought that to mind. Hey, make no mistake, Naaman was a great man. The world looked upon him as that. He held a very high position. I was thinking maybe comparable to our chief of staff, you know, type thing, the main military leader of our country. That would be Naaman. We read the word captain, we think, man, that's not very high. But in the Bible, that was high as you could get, all right? He was the head military man in Syria. And being in that situation, he was used to people doing things his way. He was used to people doing things the way he wanted it done. Hey, that is no different than when he went down to Israel seeking help for his leprosy. He had a preconceived idea of how things would go. But at the same time, he was grasping at straws, if you will, when he made the trip, because the only thing he could was to hope he could get some help. Leprosy, was a pronouncement of death in Old Testament times. You got leprosy, that was a death sentence. You were going to die, and it was going to be a terrible, painful death, all right? So he went. There was no medical help for him in Syria. There was no medical help for him anywhere else. So here's this high, mighty individual, man of power, a man of position, and when he finally found the prophet who could possibly perform, if you will, the impossible, he did not like the instructions he received. I can't help it. Like many throughout time, he found that things don't always go as you planned. So what do we do? What do we do? Well, you've got a choice. You've got a choice. Number one, verse 11, but Naaman was wroth. You can get mad. You can get mad. That's what Naaman did. Naaman got hot, man, all right? I mean, he was just a little bit upset. No, that's not right. He was a whole lot upset, all right? Now, I don't know about y'all, but I found out in life, getting mad is very easy. Have y'all noticed that? Easiest thing in the world is get mad. And after all, we know that getting mad does so much good. You think about what it does for you, all right? Man, it lifts your blood pressure. Gets that blood a pumping through there. It reddens your face. It always puts such a wonderful countenance on you. When you are really mad, I mean, it just brings it to your face, all right? It helps releases all those endomorphins. I really don't know if that happens or not, but I thought it sounded good right here, okay? Just thought that sounded real good, man. But that getting mad, boy, we think about it, how it helps us. And then it helps us to say things that later on we can be so proud we said them. We can think, yeah, man, in an instant I was able to think of those great words. Now, I'm being sarcastic. But wait a minute. Let's face it. That's what we're good at doing. Told you my son and I were at a ball game yesterday. Now, you have to understand, we sit on the side where we can get best seats. But we oftentimes find ourselves rooting for the team on the other side. And it just so happened the fellow next to my son was really rooting for the team on the other side. And there were angry words spoken between him and another fan over a stinking football game. But later on, my son, hey, I'll be honest, I was oblivious. I didn't even realize it happened until he was telling me later about it. I said, I didn't know it. I was watching a football game. You know, it didn't matter to me. They didn't come to fisticuffs or anything. But he told me later on the fella here apologized. And the guy that he apologized to apologized to him. But why is it we can't see that until later? Why is it we have to just go ahead and spit out those words? And as I said, oftentimes, man, the face gets red and everything goes, you know. Well, hey, we can see it later on, but at that moment, we would rather just get upset. Have a hissy, you know, as my mama used to say. Throw a fit. A temper tantrum, almost, if you will. Why is it that way? Hey, you can get mad. By the way, Naaman did. Didn't help him. Didn't help him. Hey, when things don't go your way, when things happen, they don't go as you plan, you get mad. It won't help you either. It won't help you either. But there's another thing you can do. Look at verse 11. We read just the first part. Naaman was wroth and went away. But wait a minute, that's not all. And said, behold, I thought. I circled those words, those three words in my Bible. Behold, I thought, he will surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God and strike his hand over the place and recover the leprosy. Man, I could just see it. I thought. Hey, you can go tell what you think. You can just go tell what you think. When things don't go as you planned them, you can just get all bent out of shape, and then you can go tell everybody what you think, how it ought to be, how it should have come out, all right? After all, it is what you think that matters the most in this world. That is the most important thing. Old Naaman waxed eloquent in telling everybody who would listen what he had expected. I can just imagine. He wanted the pomp and the ceremony. Remember, he's the highest military man in the country, in that nation. He was used to the ceremony and the pomp and everything that went on. And he thought, boy, it would have taken care of that problem. I can just see him going to Israel and finding Elisha and sending the word in, hey, I'm here, get on out here and do your stuff. And I believe he wanted Elisha maybe to come out and maybe raise both hands and say, oh, mighty potentate of the universe, the great God of Isaac and Jacob and Abraham, I call upon you as you did in the days of Noah and lifted that ark above the waters. And Lord, that God who parted the waters at Moses' lifting of the rod, that's the God I call upon today. What you do, can't you just see that? Stinking Hollywood movie, you know. You can just see it in your mind's eye. That was what he thought should have happened. But hey, folks, what we think never changes the circumstances. It never changes the situation. All right? But for some reason, it seems to make us feel better just to give our opinion, how it should have been. By the way, you might notice that after Naaman gave his opinion and his ideas, he was still a leper. He was still a leper. The problem had not changed. The situation was no better. Now, you can get mad. You can tell everybody you know your opinion about how things should have been and ought to have been. And then you can do what Naaman did. You can walk away. You look at the end of verse 12. So he turned and went away in a rage. I can just see him, all right? Things, obviously, they did not go as he planned. So he said, I'm done. I'm done with it. I'm out of here. Obviously, if it didn't happen as I planned it, there's nothing more to do but figure it wasn't supposed to happen, because it's got to be my way. It's got to be my way. Now, you can make the choice Naaman made when things don't go your way. Or, this is one instance where Naaman illustrates both sides. Look at verse 13. And his servants came near and spake unto him and said, my father, if the prophet had bid thee do some great thing, wouldest thou not have done it? How much rather then when he saith to thee, wash and be clean? What are you saying, preacher? I tell you, when things don't go as planned, you could listen to a little counsel. You could just listen to a little bit of counsel. Now, I want to show to you, it was his folks beneath him that advised him. But at the same time, I believe it was people that cared about him. People that cared about him gave him some counsel. And hey, just take a moment there. You might just take a moment and consider that there could possibly be a better idea than the one you had. There could be something that would work. You can listen to what is said, listen to what is suggested, listen to what is sent. Hey, you can find out, get you some good counsel. You know, listen there. Check it out. Hey, things didn't go the way I planned. What can I do? Well, I can get mad. That's not going to help. I can voice my opinion, think that's not going to help. I can get so mad, I'll leave and say, that's it. That's not going to help. You could decide, I think I'm going to listen to a bit of counsel. And if you'll seek out wise counsel, you can do the second thing that Naaman did. Look at verse 14. Then went he down and dipped himself 7 times in Jordan, according to the saying of the man of God. And his flesh came again like unto the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. Hey, you can heed the word of God. You can heed the word of God. Now listen to me. A lot of people hear the word of God, but it doesn't help them, because they don't really heed what they hear. Listen, I've known people sat in good churches and the truth was preached to them time after time after time, and they went out and made an absolute disaster of their life. It was not a fault of their Sunday school teacher. It was not a fault of their pastor. It was not a fault of the church they were in. It was the fault of that individual that heard but never heeded. Never heed it. When you heed the word of God, you do more than just listen and give some good thoughts about it and walk out and say, hey, that was a good Sunday school lesson, or that was entertaining, or a preacher, that was a good message. No, you go beyond all that and you do what God says to do. That's real heeding of the word of God, all right? You heed what he says. Now, it might not be what you wanted. It might not be what you like. It might not be what you think will work. Naaman didn't like it. Naaman didn't like it. I'm not sure Naaman thought it would work. Okay, and that dead sure wasn't what he wanted. At least he said, and we skipped this part up there in verse 12. And he said, verse 12, he said, why couldn't he have sent me some of those herbs up there in Damascus? Man, they're clear, the water's pure and everything. But he said, send me this filthy Jordan. It's nasty, dirt in it, you know, and muddy. But he sends me there, and so I guarantee you he didn't like what it was. But you may not like it, but just do it anyway. Just do it anyway. Man, if you're not sure what he says about it, then search the book for what he's got for you. What are you saying, preacher? I mean, you seek the word of God, and therefore the will of God. Look for it, okay? Pray about it. Pray about it. Sometimes the answer comes quickly, but hear me. Sometimes it takes a while. Now, we like instant everything. I love grits. I like instant grits. It's one of the few things in this world I can cook. I can make grits. I love them. We like instant stuff. We like it quick. But God doesn't always give you everything you want right at the moment you want it. Sometimes you got to seek his will. You got to go after it. Hey, things didn't go as I planned. Okay, then listen to counsel. Do, all right, heed the word of God. And then just do this, all right. I want you to notice the last part of verse 14. Says his flesh came again like unto the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. Naaman saw his flesh become clean. He saw the leprosy disappear to the point his skin was now like that of a little child. Now we're talking about a soldier. We're talking about a man that had been out in the elements. I guarantee you the skin before leprosy was rough. It was toughened. But man, it now is like a child's. And I guarantee you he saw that. I believe every time he dipped, I don't have Bible for this. I've just got human nature for this. I believe every time he dipped, he'd come up, and wherever that leprosy was, he'd look. Still there. Go down the second time, come up, looks again. He did that all the way through. The sixth time, come up, he said, I hope this works. One more dip. And I said, it's still there. Went down, but when he came up the seventh time, boy, boom. Now, I don't know that it changed before his eyes. It may have changed while he was underwater, okay? And when you're in muddy water, you don't open your eyes, okay? But God did a work in him, okay? Hey, listen, you said, preacher, what are you saying? I'm saying this. If you'll listen to some counsel and you'll heed the word of God, then learn to just sit back and watch God work. Watch God do his work. And listen, the idea really for the whole message tonight came from the fact we had planned, we had looked forward to this night. We were looking forward to Brother Nathan and his family being here. We were looking forward to being a blessing to them. We were looking forward. I was looking forward to the excitement. I know Brother Nathan, and I've known him for years since he was a kid. And I was looking for that excitement. I know his kids would have been excited, and that would have been fun. We would have had so much fun. We were looking forward. Had it all planned out. The thing is, God, hey, might have a plan sometimes that doesn't coincide with ours. He has a plan, doesn't coincide. Hey, it doesn't necessarily mean our plan was wrong. Doesn't mean your plan. Hey, when your plan doesn't work, it doesn't necessarily mean your plan was wrong. It just wasn't God's perfect plan. Just wasn't his. And can I say this to you? He's more interested in working out his plan than he is making ours look good. He's doing his plan. Can I say this to you? Can we just trust him? Boy, let's just learn to trust him. It comes down to this. We can fight against God. We can argue with him. We can get mad. We can lose our temper. We can vent to anybody that'll listen. We can do all of that. We can do every bit of it, all right? We can walk away from him, away from his will. But man, instead of resisting him, we could decide to just step back and let him use us in his plan. In his plan. Boy, that's so much better for us. So much better for us. The preacher, you ever been disappointed when your plans didn't come to fruition? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, sure, I'm human just like you are. We all have. But I'll tell you this, I found out God always has a good plan. He has a better plan than mine. The timing, you say, why did this happen? I don't know. I don't know. Maybe somebody's here needed this message. This message wouldn't have been preached if it hadn't been for what happened. I don't know. It may not be anybody sitting here. It may be somebody that watches us on YouTube. I don't know. It may be something you need to file away in your life because you're going to need it down the road. But I want to tell you what, things don't go as you plan. Learn to listen to advice. Learn to seek some counsel. Learn to heed the word of God. And as you do that, just let him work that plan out. Just sit back and enjoy it coming to pass. And just say, I can enjoy this. Because it's God's plan, he's working. And thank God he'll use us in his plan. I'm glad he will. I'm glad he will. A few years ago, we got gathered here, and we said goodbye to the Mahaneys. They were going to South Korea. Brother Mahaney was sure at that time God's will for them to be in South Korea, to go there and serve the Lord. They planned to be there for years and years and years. That changed. But that was God's plan. That was God's plan. Hey, we don't do the planning. Let's just let God use us. Let's listen to him. Let's trust him. Would you bow your head tonight and close your eyes? Every head bowed and every eye closed. Listen, what about you? What about you? Some of your plans gone down the drain. Don't let it bother you. That's fine. It's okay. Don't get mad. Don't get mad, you know, and don't, whatever you do, don't walk away. Just decide, you know, hey, I'm going to seek some counsel. I'm going to do what the Bible says. I'm going to do what God tells me to do, and I'm going to let him use me however he wants to do it. If you need to come tonight, the altar's open. Our Heavenly Father, I pray you'd help us to be helped by the message tonight. Naaman did not have things go as he planned, but Lord, when he gave into your plan, what a difference you made in his life. Lord, I believe you'll still do that in the lives of people today if we'll just listen to you and do what you say and allow you to work your plan in us. Help us, Lord, tonight to see that. Help us to accept it. Help us to trust you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.